The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Because he's a total wannabe Donald Trump. This is all goes back to the 2020 election that somehow, mysteriously, they put their tinfoil hats on, and all of a sudden, Trump really won the 2020 election. But you know what runs down our democracy? And we shouldn't allow this to happen. But he said so much of the reason he's running for governor, his quote, is because of Donald Trump. He's been endorsed by Donald Trump 4 times. He said he's honored and pleased to have Donald Trump's endorsement. So, you know, he plays this game that he goes to his extreme people that he does on right-wing radio and talks about these issues and then tries to come here in Northern Virginia and pretend, oh, I'm some moderate. He's not. He's extreme on abortion, election integrity, and all these other issues. He is bought and paid for by Donald Trump. He wants to bring Donald Trump-style politics to Virginia, and we're not going to allow it.
Mr. Youngkin, 30 seconds.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Terry, you just made folks in Las Vegas a lot of money. And I know you love to go campaign there versus being here. But there's an over. There's an over and under tonight on how many times you're going to say Donald Trump. And it was 10, and you just busted through it.
That is a clip from last night's Virginia gubernatorial debate where Glenn Youngkin crushed Terry McAuliffe, not only on McAuliffe's descent into chanting Trump, but especially on schools and public education. Glenn Youngkin, the next governor of Virginia, joins me now. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing great, Hugh. Good morning to you. Thanks for having me back.
Congratulations. I believe that your opponent, Terry McAuliffe, last night uttered the dumbest line I've ever heard in the history of debates, and I want to play it for the audience. It's at the end of Cut 29. This takes a minute, and then we'll talk about it. Glenn Youngkin and Terry McAuliffe last night, Cut 29.
What we've seen over the course of the last 20 months is our school systems refusing to engage with parents. In fact, in Fairfax County this past week, we watched parents so upset because there was such sexually explicit material in the library they had never seen. It was shocking. And in fact, you vetoed the bill that would have informed parents that they were there. You believe school systems should tell children what to do. I believe parents should be in charge of their kids' education.
Mr. McAuliffe, 30 seconds.
So, first of all, this shows how clueless Glenn Youngkin is. He doesn't understand what the laws were because he's never been involved here in helping Virginia. But it was not. The parents had to write to veto bills, veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledgeable about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Glenn Youngkin, I don't think parents should be telling schools what to teach. I'm gobsmacked by that. Could you believe he said that?
I couldn't believe he said it, but it is absolutely at the heart of Terry McAuliffe's belief system. He believes that government and unions and school boards should be in charge of your children's lives. This is what he thinks, and parents shouldn't be engaged. This is why voters in Virginia are rejecting Terry McAuliffe. Because they all recognize that he is a big government. I know better than you. I don't respect anything you believe, from mandating everything to shutting schools to shutting businesses to teaching your children things that you know aren't right, but they're in Terry McAuliffe's mind, it's what they must know in order to be part of the Terry McAuliffe clan. This is just the worst thing I've ever heard from anybody who's respecting family, respecting parents, and respecting our children. That's why we're going to go win this. I'm going to stand up for teachers, for students. I'm going to stand up for parents and make sure the parents are engaged in their children's education.
Yeah, this is Northern Virginia. I voted for you yesterday. I happened to run into Mrs. Youngkin when I was early voting. It was nice to see her out working the polls early on the day of debate day. But there is a huge school race as well going on. There's school board races all over the state because people have had it with the left-wing education machine in Virginia. So when Terry steps on a rake, I don't think parents should be telling schools what to teach. Do we have the short version of that, by the way? I don't want to put words in Terry's mouth. I wanted to get it exactly right. Do we have the short version yet? Okay, we'll work on that. So this is Northern Virginia. This has been rocketing Northern Virginia, where he must win a big margin, because you are going to win the rest of the state very, very handily, Glenn Youngkin. Did he not know that education is issue number one in Northern Virginia?
I think Terry is so out of touch. He's made the calculus that he loses to Glenn Youngkin, and therefore he just talks about Trump all the time from the earlier clip. He knows that he loses to Glenn Youngkin on all the issues because he has got a failed set of policies. You know, his policies, as he always talks about, my 100 pages of policies, are the same ones he had in 2009, the same ones he had in 2013. It's going to cost Virginians $16 billion, a $5,400 tax increase for every Virginia family. And Virginia voters are rejecting him. And here we are in Northern Virginia, which has been absolutely ground zero on parental involvement in education, over critical race theory, over books and libraries that are sexually explicit and shouldn't be in there. And Terry McAuliffe has the audacity to say that parents should not be involved in their kids' education. I mean, this is who he is, and this is why voters are going to reject him and elect me the next governor.
I want to play another clip. It's another McAuliffe whopper, and you call him on it. Cut 24 from last night's debate between my guest, Glenn Youngkin, Virginia's next governor, and the washed-up Terry McAuliffe. Cut 24.
Businesses are not going to come to a state where they're putting walls up around their state. He's against gay marriage. He's against abortion. And that's his religious right. And I respect his right for his opinion. But I can tell you this. He cannot. The businesses that I brought to Virginia, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Microsoft,
okay,
they are not coming
thank
to
you.
A state that discriminates against women.
Thank you.
They're not.
Mr. McAuliffe, 30 seconds. Mr. Young.
Yeah, thank you. Again, Terry, I just can't understand how you can just so comfortably lie to everybody. And let's just be clear.
That's what you've been doing all night, buddy.
You stood up in front of a group of people and said that you would bring companies here because it was easier to get an abortion. You want to be the abortion governor. Let's be clear. Companies are not making these choices. Ford Motor Company decided to put four plants, $7 billion, two in Kentucky, one in Tennessee, and one in Georgia. They skipped Virginia. This is the legacy you've left Virginia. A dying economy,
okay,
jobs that aren't for anyone, and you absolutely misunderstand what it takes to get companies to come
right,
so that Virginians can have the kind of future they deserve.
Very quick.
That was a killer, Glenn Youngkin. And I know Terry McAuliffe's been a grifter for a long time, and happy Terry, glad handing Terry. But do you think voters get how bad it is for the state right now? I think they do, but you're banking on it.
Well, I think one of the things that we have to continue to do is tell the truth, and Terry doesn't. You know, he lies about his record, and he doesn't recognize the fact that we, for the last 8 years, have been watching the states around us absolutely lap Virginia. They've grown 70% faster economically and created so many more jobs. I mean, over the last 8 years, North Carolina's created eight times the job that Virginia has, and Tennessee six times the job. And we just saw it in spades yesterday when Ford Motor Company announces four new plants. And they put two in Kentucky, one in Tennessee, and one in Georgia. And they didn't even consider putting one in Virginia because they know that Terry McAuliffe's going to, if he were elected governor, going to get rid of right to work, force unionization on every Virginian. He's created a high-tax, high-regulation environment, and companies aren't coming. So I'm going to fix that. We're going to cut regulations. We're going to get our taxes down. We're going to get the cost of living down. We're going to make it easier to do business, and we're going to get companies to come here, as opposed to skip over us and go every place else and put Virginians in a position where they have to leave in order to go get these jobs. Virginia's going to be the best place to live, work, and raise a family when I'm governor.
You said we're going to welcome the Afghan refugees, and I'll play this later, that we need to teach our kids real history. But I want the audience to hear one more time before we lose you, Glenn Young. This is Terry McAuliffe stepping on the rake, the short version, what he said. I think the line that will go down in debate history. Can you play the short version for me? I think it's the last cut.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
I want to put that on an endless loop, Glenn Youngkin, because that, if I've seen one issue roil the Commonwealth in the last year, it's parents telling school boards to listen to them. And you just heard Terry McAuliffe tell school boards to disregard parents.
He told what's in his heart. that he believes government and unions should be in charge of your children. That's what Terry McAuliffe believes, and that's why voters are going to reject him. We're bringing voters together. We're bringing Republicans and independents and Democrats. There's a reason why I'm winning the independents running away. There's a reason why so many Democrats are supporting me. It's because they're tired of this 40-year-old rhetoric that comes from Terry McAuliffe, who is literally the godfather of the modern-day Republican Party that wants to tell everybody in America what to do. This is what he believes. This is why Virginians on behalf of America are going to reject him and chart a new path forward for not just the Commonwealth, but for our country.
Congratulations on a big win last night, Glenn Youngkin. I think the momentum is clearly with you. Keep coming back in the closing 3 weeks. And Virginians, you can go vote early. The Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I did for Glenn Youngkin yesterday. Come right back, though. The Hugh Hewitt Show is live inside the Beltway. Stay tuned.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Welcome back, America. I'm going to play Terry McAuliffe stepping on the rake last night. I don't think parents should be telling teachers what to teach. Unbelievable. Before I go to my guest, I want to remind you that I was talking with Dr. Collins last segment, and I did not take my relief factor, which I take every morning at this hour. And so I've got my relief factor out right now, because after this show, I will be out and do 6 miles, because I'm talking to Dr. Collins, Dr. Fauci, I'm talking to Molly Hemingway today, and Keith Kroc, and a lot of people. And I'm going to be spun up. And afterwards, I got to get out and exercise, and I got to read Dante as I go walking. But here's my relief factor. I take it on air every day with my lukewarm coffee, because I do want to stay active and moving until I'm very old. And relief factor is for adults. It's for active seniors. It's for young athletes. It's for anyone who wants to get rid of the minor aches and pains in their life. Take a one-today vitamin. Take relief factor. Leave the over-the-counters behind. Get rid of the aches and pains that accompany exercise and aging. Get your relief factor pack for $19.95. I'm joined by Brian Williams, not that Brian Williams with whom I have worked often at NBC. This Brian Williams, you see his picture, he's dean of the Templeton Honors College at Eastern University. You know, Dean, Jack Templeton was a good friend of mine, and Pina Templeton was a good friend of mine. So when I saw that you were going to come and represent Dante today, 100 Days of Dante, I was very happy. Did you happen to have the pleasure of knowing Jack and Pina when they were alive?
I think that speaks pretty well of you, Hugh. Say you're friends with Jack and Pina. Unfortunately, I did not know Jack while he was still alive, but certainly Pina. When I came here in 2017, I certainly had many, many wonderful opportunities to get to know Pina and spend time with her, and certainly have gotten to know the next couple generations of that family who are dear friends of ours and really delightful human beings. So I'm glad that you got to know them over the years.
Amazing man. Dr. Jack and I got to drive from Detroit Airport to Hillsdale College one day and back and forth, and he did a speech there, and we just had a wonderful time. And we talked about English literature most of the time. And we did not talk about Dante. I'm not going to make that up to shine you on, but he was a literature lover. How did you get wrapped up in the 100 Days of Dante program? And people can go to 100daysofdante.com, or they can follow on Twitter, the number 100 Days of Dante. How did you get involved in that?
Yeah, well, Dante has been a love of my life for decades, and I spent many years teaching high school in Kansas, and Dante was one of the main things that I had taught. And then when I was over at the University of Oxford, I ended up being kind of a go-to Dante guy for several years, doing multiple lectures and teaching on him. And then when my friend Matt Anderson down at Baylor texted me one day and said, "Hey, what do you think about this idea?" Usually when Matt has an idea, I just go with it, because it's usually pretty good. And then he said, "I want to do this great Dante reading group." And I jumped on immediately, because for me and for my students, my high school students, 20 years ago, Dante and the comedy have just been so formative for me, and it was so formative for generations of them, that when Matt said, "Hey, I want to create the world's largest Dante reading group," I said, "I'm all in. What do you need?"
Well, now, would you give the quick précis on how people get involved? It's not too late. It's been going for a couple of weeks. People can catch up, or they can jump on the train right now. What do they do each week?
Great. Yep. So if you go to 100daysofdante.com, you can sign up with your email. And then what you're going to get on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of every week, we started in September, and it's going to go till Easter 2022, you will get an email in your inbox on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with a 9 to 10 minute reflection from some scholar on that particular chapter. Dante calls them cantos or little songs that we're reading for that day. And so we're only, I think, up to canto, or it's a short chapter, really, 9 or 10 today. So you're certainly still able to jump in and pick up with the rest of us. So here's the deal. We've decided, you know, we want to try to make it reasonable for people to read this great Christian epic and go through this grand journey together with us. And so we are reading three basically short chapters a week. So it's very manageable. They take about 10 to 12 minutes to read, and then there's a 9 to 10-minute reflection on that particular canto or chapter.
It is a great Bible study group exercise. It's a great small group exercise. It's a great homeschooling exercise. And everybody ought to know something about Dante, and I'm one of the first original sinners. Luckily, I had David Allen White teach me a little bit about Dante, who taught English at the United States Naval Academy forever. Now they can get people like Professor Williams. They can get Professor Anderson. We got a minute left, Brian Williams. If anyone starts 100daysofdante.com, will they be sorry? Will they consider it wasted time? I think it's worth everybody's effort, and it's important for parents to tell their kids about it, contrary to what Terry McAuliffe said. What do you say to the audience about throwing in with 100daysofdante.com?
No, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, my 78-year-old mom, my 51-year-old wife, and my 18-year-old daughter are all reading it for the very first time. Because they've heard me talk about it for years and years now, and this, they recognize this is a fantastic opportunity to be walked through this great Christian epic that has been formative in the lives of Christians and, you know, poets and literary people for really hundreds of years. And so, no, this is the opportunity to walk your way through this great epic.
Dr. Williams, thank you. 100daysofdante.com from Eastern College, Brian Williams. This week's promoter of what I want people to do, which is love the good and the beautiful and the Christian, and 100 Days of Dante, the number 100, daysofdante.com. Dante is spelled D-A-N-T-E for the Steelers fans. Come right back to Hour 2 of the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home, or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.
Parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, California. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway, welcoming a new friend from last year. Keith Kroc was brought to Washington, D.C. by Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo to take over technology. And now he's brought his immense tech ability to the campus of Purdue University to begin the Center for Diplomacy and Technology. Good morning, Keith. Good to have you back, Mr. Secretary.
Well, it's great to be back, Hugh. It's always good to see my Cleveland man, that's for sure.
Well, you know, when they told me you had started this at Purdue, I was unaware that there was a degree-granting institution at West Lafayette, because in the Big Ten, we only count football schools. But actually, you and Mitch Daniels have done a great thing. I'm not going to give you my usual Purdue grief. Would you tell people what you and Mitch Daniels and the Purdue community have done? Because this is important for the next 100 years for America.
It really is. So the Purdue Center for Technology Diplomacy is the crossover, Hugh, between technology and foreign policy to advance freedom and to stand up against authoritarianism. And we're in a unique position to do it. It's a totally unique category of techno-economic statecraft, and that was the discipline really that we kind of invented when I brought the 12 Silicon Valley results-oriented execs and entrepreneurs and technologists and blend them with this, you know, tremendous diplomatic corps at the State Department. And really, to combat China's economic aggression. And this transformational team was responsible for the $12 billion onshoring of TSMC to advance to secure the semiconductor supply chain. That now has resulted in $350 billion of U.S. investment in jobs, and also defeated the CCP's master plan for 5G. Those are a couple of their accomplishments.
Well, let's pause there for a moment. During the Trump administration, for the first time ever, under the leadership of the President, Secretary Pompeo, and you, China's technology predatory practices became very obvious to the world, especially through Huawei, through TikTok, through a number of their other initiatives. Nobody really was paying attention till your gang got to town and began to point to the CCP's omnivorous appetite to envelop and infiltrate the world's technology system. So you started the Clean Network. Would you tell people what China was up to, what the Clean Network is, and what Purdue's new Center for Diplomacy and Technology will do to advance that agenda?
Sure. So if you remember, at the beginning of 2020, it looked like China's master plan to control 5G was going to take over the world. And it's much more than smartphones. You know, this controls sanitation systems, utility grids, power systems, Internet of Things, manufacturing process. Both sides of the aisle were hitting a panic button. It looked like the CCP was going to run the table. And this is Huawei, their most important company, the backbone for the surveillance state that enables the genocide in Xinjiang. Efforts had been failing because the U.S. government had been going around pounding the table, saying, don't buy Huawei. We came in and we did something novel in the government. It seemed second nature to us. We said, why don't we treat these other countries and the telcos like customers? And the customer's always right. And we need a value proposition. And everything that we did was centered in trust, because what I learned was that, you know, my first 60 bilaterals, you know, talking to economic ministers, foreign ministers, you know, I'd say, how important is China to you? They go, really important. And then they look both ways. They go, but we don't trust them. And that rang bells in my head, because a year before, I'm standing up in front of DocuSign going, hey, we're not in the software business. We're in the trust business. These are people's most important documents. And you think about it, yeah, trust is the ultimate thing for 5G, because we would go around the world asking country leaders and telco CEOs, who are you going to trust with your citizens' most important information? And who are you going to trust with your company's proprietary technology and the data? And by the time we were done, we had 60 like-minded countries, 200 telcos, a host of companies on that clean network. And we and Huawei's 91 5G deals dropped to a couple dozen. And what we created was an enduring strategy that's duplicatable and repeatable for all areas. Things like clean cloud, clean underwater cable, clean carrier, clean apps, clean drones, all those kind of things. And we prove that China Inc. is beatable. And in the process, we expose their biggest weakness, and that's lack of trust, Hugh.
I want to go back to something that the audience might know. Keith Kroc is the founder and CEO of DocuSign. And when he says, we're not in the document signing business, we're in the trust business. Well, everybody who wants to succeed in the world is in the trust business. Now, our credibility took a huge hit in Afghanistan, Keith Kroc. Our NATO allies no longer trust us. And it's going to be tough to get it back, because we cut and ran on them without any notice, without any SIV evacuation. You're in the trust building business at Purdue, at the Center for Diplomacy and Technology. How do you teach the undergrads and the graduate students that they're in the trust business? Because ultimately, Americans may not even recognize this. Every day they sign a terms and agreement form, they are trusting the people on the other side of the form they haven't read not to screw them. Trust is everything, and we cannot trust the CCP. The Chinese Communist Party has shown itself to be malevolent and liars. How do you teach young people that trust is everything?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's the most important word in any language. You do business with people you trust. You buy from people you trust. You partner with people you trust. There is no business without trust, if you think about that. And so trust is something you do build up over time. Now, the good news is that nobody trusts the Chinese Communist Party. So we've got to do a better job. We've got to build back that trust. Now, it's one of those things. You don't have to be faster than the bear. You have to be faster than the slowest guy. And really the brilliance of the clean network strategy, if you think about it, Hugh, is that those trust principles if you add up our democratic values, things like respect for rule of law, respect for property, respect for sovereignty of nations, respect for the environment, respect for human rights, and things like transparency, accountability. These are things that the CCP has been using against us for their strategic advantage. So in other words, Hugh, if I'm competing against you and you don't have to be transparent and you can use slave labor and you can steal intellectual property and you can use those coal-fired power plants, you're going to win every time. What we did is we took those trust principles and in one jiu-jitsu move, we flipped them on their back and used those democratic values to our strategic advantage. So in essence, what we did, Hugh, is we weaponized those very principles that protect our freedoms.
And so at Purdue, I want to close by talking about the Center for Technology and Diplomacy at Purdue. Congratulations on getting it open. Do you really think, will undergraduates go there to get the idea, or graduate students, that this is the future of the superpower struggle, which is back, great power competition is back, all hinges on technology? We need people to know how to do this, Keith Kroc. Is Purdue going to get them to come there to do that?
We do. And by the way, we've done some incredible things at Purdue. You know, first thing we did when I brought Mitch Daniels in as our president, I was the chairman of the board, is we froze tuition 10 years in accounting. Right. We did University Global. We just announced a master's degree in semiconductor engineering. It's totally unique around the world. And so if you look at these good old fashioned values. So what this model provides, this nonpartisan model provides, is a bridge. And this is what we accomplished in the last 4 years, is a bridge between a Republican administration and a Democrat administration that utilizes these transformational diplomacy by bridging that Silicon Valley playbook with foreign policy with the best diplomatic corps in the world. So we're not only training undergraduates and master's degrees, but we're going around the world training diplomats around the world. Because this is the battleground.
And you're doing it from the good and great Midwest, so it has a chance of persuading people, because Indiana, Ohio, that's where trust is actually born. Keith Kroc, good to see you again, Secretary Kroc, one of the great guys of the Trump era. Keith Kroc, good to see you. I'll be right back, America. Don't go anywhere. I got lots ahead today, including Tony Fauci. Got some tough questions for Tony Fauci this morning, but he always answers them. Molly Hemingway as well, winner of the Bradley Award this year, coming along. Lots ahead on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Portions of The Hugh Hewitt Show are brought to you in part by Birch Gold Group.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Welcome back, America. I'm playing Terry McAuliffe's face plant from last night's debate every single segment because I love it so much when a Democrat says what they actually believe. Parents should have nothing to do with schools. And people in the audience say, huh? I am joined now by Brian Westbury, principal economist for First Trust Portfolio, who will travel with me and Alfredo Ortiz, the head of the Job Creators Network, to Atlanta on October 13th. Herschel Walker will be there as well. AM920TheAnswer.com. If you want to get tickets, it's a ticket event. You've got to get a ticket at AM920TheAnswer.com for our October 13th event at the Atlanta History Center. And Herschel will be there. Brian, I am curious. When Terry McAuliffe says, I don't think parents should be involved in telling schools what to teach. You're a parent. What do you think when you hear that?
Yeah, it infuriates me. I mean, and it goes right along with what the government people have said about COVID, that schools ought to be able to give a shot, a vaccine to kids without telling parents, because parents don't know what's best for their kids. It's amazing. But a lot of people think, we have Democrats, we have Republicans, we argue around the fringes. No, we don't. Human beings have been arguing for millennium, probably, but at least in the modern era, 250 years, 300 years, about the difference between socialism and capitalism. And socialism has to take control of the institutions of society. That would include the family. They don't take control of the church. They just get rid of the church. And so socialism is antithetical to freedom and to, what I believe God, the institutions God created, and family is one of those. Family has responsibility that government shouldn't have, that other institutions shouldn't have. And today, socialism wants to take all those responsibilities away and give them to one entity, and that is government, or in this case, Terry McAuliffe himself.
Now, I also want to bring up our friend Alfredo is out on a Job Creators Network bus tour, jcnbustour.com. If you want to go find Alfredo somewhere, he's going to talk about government's impact on small business. You and I are going to talk about the inflationary impact of Biden economics, which are crazy. But earlier today, I talked with Dr. Collins, who runs the NEH, about these advisory panels of people that we do not know making judgments about who should get the booster based upon international equity. Brian, the government has gotten so big that nobody knows who's running it. And people who are nameless and faithless are making decisions for Americans. This is the antithesis of free markets and free minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I like to point out. I love Twitter, and I mean a lot of people do. But I use it to point out, complete hypocrisy or things that people might not think about. But if we start thinking about all the credit that politicians today are trying, all of them are trying to take for us creating jobs in this past year, and don't forget, we're still almost 10 million jobs short of where we should be. But we have added millions of jobs in the past 12 months, but it's all because we opened up. So what's funny is the government takes credit for a recovery, economic recovery, from a recession it caused. And it does this in every area. And one of the first places I ever saw this was when Paul Volcker, now this goes way back to the 1980s, was the chairman of the Fed. He had Jerome Powell's job. Paul Volcker is one of the most famous Fed chairman in history, but he had to raise interest rates to 20% to stop the inflation that the Fed created in the 1970s. And a lot of people think Paul Volcker is a hero. And when I come back and go, no, all he did was fix, he was the head of the Fed,
he fixed the problem that the Fed created. And isn't it funny? When you're in government, you can create a problem, come in, supposedly solve it, and become a hero. That's
okay, we got 1 minute, Brian. Do we need to worry about this debt limit crisis? Janet Yellen, another former Fed chairman, was out preaching gloom and doom. I think the Democrats will pass the debt limit. But what do you think about this manufactured crisis?
Yeah, they will pass the debt limit increase. We don't have to worry about it right now. One of the things that there's two issues going on here. One, they have to raise the debt limit in order to keep deficit spending in the future. But the government has so many tricks up its sleeves. They can borrow from trust funds. They can do all sorts of things. That's not what's going to shut the government down. We can operate for another year without raising, 9 months without raising the debt ceiling. What will be a problem is if they can't pass a budget. And if you don't have a budget, you can't spend. You can't run the government. That's what will shut the government down.
We'll talk about all this on October 13th with Herschel Walker, with Alfredo Ortiz of the Job Creators Network. Check out jcnbustour.com.
Hear the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at salempodcastnetwork.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.